Lovely. Facebook does this thing called a year in review. Now, from what I can tell, it seems to be Facebook collecting together a load of photos that you've either uploaded through the year or you've been tagged in through the year. Full disclosure, I've never made one of these Facebook in review things, nor could I be bothered to look at yours. But from what I can tell, it seems to largely be a montage of restaurant meals and embarrassing holiday photos. But what it does do is it allows us to have a look back over our years and think about the highlights and the bad things that have happened throughout 2015, or at least the stuff that you're willing to admit to on Facebook, plus probably a couple of lies. It got me to thinking, though, 2015 for all of us has had some good things, it's brought some bad things, and it's brought some things that have been just horrendous for us. Like the man bun. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a clip-on man bun. For when your hair is not long enough for you to form your own man bun, you can still participate in this horrendous trend. The hashtag used in spoken conversation. Hashtag she went there. Hashtag stop. Coffin nails for clawing your way out of a coffin. I don't know. They look scary. Eggnog lattes. Stop it, Starbucks. Messing with my coffee. Anyway, at the beginning of 2015, I kept hearing a Bible verse. It was everywhere. It was in every daily devotional that I read. It was all over the internet. And someone actually even posted it on Facebook saying, oh, I keep seeing this verse everywhere. And I thought, yeah, are there no other verses in the Bible? Anyway, it was this one. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I was reminded of this verse earlier this week, and I thought, actually at the time then I kept hearing it loads and loads at the beginning of the year, I really felt this verse was for me for 2015. So hearing it again this week made me think, so what were the new things that God was doing in 2015 for me? Because actually I've not had any major life changes. There's not really been any big kind of things at work that's happened or massive changes in church opportunities or anything like that. But for me, the massive, huge changes in my life, the new thing that God has been doing has been in my perception of him, my relationship with him, the way I think about him. He's really, really changed some of my old ways of thinking around God. And as we hurtle into 2016, it feels, it made me wonder, how do we prepare ourselves for the new things that he's got in store for us throughout 2016? Because 2016 is going to contain some highs and lows, just like 2015 did. But God wants to use all of it to help us to become who he wants us to be and to see his plans for our lives come to fruition. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's Ephesians 2. So in order for us to take hold of the new stuff that God's got for us in 2016, we have to let go of some of the old things. I was reminded of years and years ago, back before I felt the need to give in to peer pressure, I was coerced into taking part in Go Ape. I don't know if you've come across it. For those of you that haven't, it's essentially an assault course that takes part miles and miles in the air above the height that any human should ever be at without the use of an aeroplane. Anyway, you're climbing through trees, you're going up ladders and all kinds of horrendous things. It's great for your prayer life, but simply terrifying. You're harnessed in. But anyway, I was standing on this ledge and the instructor said to me, I was holding onto a rope, and the idea was you step off of the ledge and you swing into a cargo net miles and miles away. And the instructor said to me, now remember, as you approach the cargo net, you have to either just keep holding on of the rope and let yourself swing back and swing back and swing back, or just let go and grab onto the cargo net with both hands. So I thought, I hear you, instructor man, with your hipster beard and your disregard for cleanliness. I hear you. Going to keep that in mind. And so as I did it, as I was holding onto the rope, and I took that terrifying step off of the platform, and I swung through the air towards this cargo net, my brain just screamed, "You're in the air! Hold on to everything!" So I hurtled towards the cargo net, still with rope in hand, and just held on. And of course, as the pendulum effect kicks in and the rope swings back, I was just like this, between cargo net and the rope. What I should have done is either kept holding onto the rope, the old thing that was keeping me safe, or I should have just let go completely and just grasped with both hands the cargo net, the new thing that I was supposed to be holding onto. And I think we do that in our Christian walks. We try to hold on to the past stuff, and it stops us being able to actually fully move into the new. So in 2015, what was God speaking to you about, perhaps gently speaking to you about letting go of? Now, it might be a role or a position that you've been in for years. I mean, for some of you, it very much was stepping out of a role and position that you've been in for years. The problem is that when we've been doing something for a long time, it feels really unsafe to put that down and to step into something new. I mean, if you think, perhaps you've been the person that stacks the chairs at the end of junction, the one person who stacks the chairs at the end of junction. And you've been doing it since junction began. You know, you've kind of reached the level of vice president of chair stacking now. Feeling quite good about the fact that you're always the one that stays behind and stacks the chairs. But God might have been saying to you in 2015, actually, I want you to think about joining the prayer ministry team. You think, well, that happens during the chair stacking period. How on earth would I be in the prayer team if I can? How would I do both? And God's saying, yeah, I know, you can't do both. So perhaps now's the time to let someone else take over from the chair stacking so that you can embrace the new thing that I've got for you in 2016. Maybe that's what God's talking to you about. Or maybe, like me, it was thought patterns, your way of perceiving God, the box that you've perhaps put him in. Maybe God's telling you, 2015, I want you to park that there, because in 2016, I've got something new for you, a new way of thinking about things. Maybe you really found your security in ritual and tradition and doing things because that's the way you've always done them, especially when it comes to God. You've always done this in your quiet time. You've always talked to God in this way. You've got this set prayer that you always read every single day. And God's saying to you, actually, yes, that was great for then, but now I'm moving you into something new. It says in Hebrews 12, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Perhaps in 2016, God's saying, leave behind the stuff that you've always done just because you've always done it, and actually focus your eyes on Jesus in 2016 and see where he leads you. Perhaps 2015, you found yourself really working to be accepted by God by doing the stuff that you've always done, or perhaps being accepted by other people. And that is a problem in your relationship with God, because if you're finding your security and your affirmation solely in the acceptance of other people, it stops you risking rejection by actually following what it is that God wants you to be doing. I think for me, the one time, I think back in maybe March or February, when someone said, oh, it was an okay preach you did, I could quite easily just cling on to that and think, every time I come up here and give a sermon thereafter, think of that person and think, would they like it? Am I saying the things that they'd want me to say? Am I being a bit controversial? I don't want to do that, because actually I quite like it when people say that I'm good at this. Hear me. Thanks, mate. But I could easily tailor the way I speak and the things that I say in order to keep getting Scott's affirmation, because I quite like it. And that's a dangerous position to be in, because actually there might come a time when God says, I want you to say something that is quite controversial, because I've got something to say to your people, to my people, God's people, but they might not be ready to hear it. They might not want to hear it. It's going to be quite challenging. And if I'm always looking to get affirmation from other people, then I might be quite unwilling to say something that people disagree with. It might be that God is asking you to leave behind the glory days in 2015. And by this I mean you might have had some successes in your job or in your church ministry. And that's great, because God celebrates those things with you. But if we're always holding on to the glory days, we might not be willing to step into something new. If you're always thinking back to the stuff that happened that people really praised you for, or you saw huge financial gains through, you might not be willing to risk trying something new. So perhaps God is saying to you, just, we celebrate that, but leave that in 2015. Of course, it's really easy to look at a new calendar year and think, actually, last year was pretty rubbish, so I'm just going to draw a line through the whole thing. Forget it ever happened. And that is so tempting sometimes, but there might have been stuff that happened to you in 2015 that God's saying, I've not quite done dealing with that yet. You've experienced some really difficult stuff, and that can have a knock-on effect in your life, in your faith, your relationship with God. It can harden your heart if you don't allow God to heal you of it. So what happened in 2015 that God might still be talking to you about? Maybe you have regrets about something. Perhaps you did something that you are really, really ashamed of in 2015, not looking at anyone. Perhaps one is really ashamed of something that they did in 2015, and God is saying, actually, I don't want you to just forget about it. I want to talk to you about it. I want to bring you freedom and healing from that. Because it actually says in the Bible, as I'm sure lots of you know, in Romans 3, for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of the glory of God. Yet God freely and graciously declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. God has forgiven you of your sins. If you are in Jesus, you are free from the penalty of your sin. You are forgiven. Perhaps in 2016, God wants to help you to forgive yourself. Perhaps something happened in 2015 or didn't happen in 2015 that has led you to be really disappointed. And disappointment is poisonous, because it puts a lid on your expectation of what God will do in your future. When people disappoint us, it hurts. We stop trusting them. When they betray us, let us down, we never quite have that same openness with them again, or trust in them. And when we feel that God has let us down, perhaps he's not answered a prayer in the way that we've wanted, or he's just not answered the prayer yet, we struggle to trust him again with other things. Perhaps you have been praying for someone to be healed in 2015 and they passed away. That disappointment makes it so hard to pray for healing again. And yes, we could say, well, that was 2015, I'm going to park that hurt and that pain there. But actually, if you don't let God heal you of it, it's going to harden your heart to what he can do for you in 2016 and the future. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, it says in Proverbs. Unforgiveness. Someone might have done something to you in 2015 that was awful. They may have betrayed you, they may have hurt you, said something that was just awful to you. And you know that you're supposed to forgive them, and you've said, actually, I forgive them, and you meant it. But perhaps you haven't forgiven them, because actually I think forgiveness is quite a lot more than just willfully thinking, I really forgive you, I do. And I think a good test of whether you've actually forgiven someone is to imagine how you would feel if they were given £1 million. Would you think, oh, that's good for them? Or would you be angry? £1 million to them, but don't you know what they just did? Or perhaps they've got some praise. They've done something in church and someone has said, oh, it's really good. Do you think, actually, yeah, it was quite good? Or do you think, I still want to punch you in the face? Maybe they've got promoted at work and you think, if only those people knew quite what they were up to in their spare time. I think it's all very well for us to think, actually, 2015, I did forgive that person, I let it go. But if you're still feeling those kind of feelings around them, you've probably not quite forgiven them. And it might be that God really needs to get to the root of where your bitterness is coming from, where the pain is, and what healing needs to be done in your life. So, perhaps as I've been speaking, Holy Spirit has been prompting you about something that you are to leave behind in 2015 as you move into this next year. Or perhaps he's been prompting you to say, don't sweep that under the carpet, we've still got some more work to do. Seasons. The Bible speaks a lot about seasons in our life. It says in Ecclesiastes, for everything there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. It's a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Now this passage likens our seasons of life to sort of seasons in farming, I suppose. Now I don't know much about gardening or farming because both of those things occur outside. And as you know, I am more of a houseplant. But what I have done is recognise some of those seasons in my own life over 2015. There's been building up, there's been tearing down, weeping. Definitely. Laughing, seeking, casting away, loving, hating, keeping silent and not keeping silent. And I've tried to be a bit more sort of domestic this year, so there's definitely been a season of sewing. I say season of sewing, I bought a sewing machine. Used it once, realised I can't sew, gave up. On a related note, if anyone wants to buy a sewing machine, I know of one, really good condition, has been used once. Been kicked twice. Approaching 2016, I think it's really good for us to ask God, what season am I in right now? And what season might you be moving me into? Because we really need to know or be aware of his timing in 2016. Because if we're not aware of his timing, we start trying to make things happen ourselves. Because let's be honest, there's loads of things I want to see happen in 2016. I'm sure you've got stuff that you'd really love to see happen in 2016. But if it's not what God's got for you right now, trying to make that happen is just going to end in frustration and more tears. So maybe ask him for your verse for the year. Mine was that verse in Isaiah. That was last year. I'm going to ask him for a new one for this year. But perhaps that will help you keep perspective on what he's doing over your life in 2016 as you go through the year. I know that when I was going through those times of just God kind of pulling apart my preconceptions about him and fitting it back together, turning my life upside down in some circumstances, it really gave me comfort to think, actually God told me at the beginning of the year that he was going to do a new thing in me, and I think this is it. So actually, no matter how uncomfortable this might be, I actually take comfort in knowing that God's the one that's doing it because he is good and I am safe. So perhaps that's what you need to do. You need to ask God, what season am I moving into? I think we need to trust that Holy Spirit is growing us. You don't know what he's got for you in 2016, what he wants to accomplish through you or the changes that he wants to make in your life. Says in Ecclesiastes 9, people can never predict when hard times may come. Like fish in a net or birds in a trap, people are caught by sudden tragedy. And equally, we don't know the blessings and opportunities that he's got for us, the abundant blessings that he's got for us in 2016. Who knows what the future is? Matthew 6, verse 34 says, "So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." Or as I like to paraphrase it, tomorrow is future Helen's problem. But whatever does happen in 2016, we can look back and think, actually, I went through some pretty turbulent times in 2015, but God got me through it. And for 2016, no matter what is thrown at me, God will still get me through it. We can trust that he's always with us, that he never leaves us alone, never leaves us to deal with. Are you okay there? Because you're kind of stealing my thunder. Enthusiastic agreement, that's fine. That's fine. Don't you start too. Everyone coughing. Ah. Right, that's it. I'm done. Sorry, I appreciate this is your first time here. I didn't want to yell at you. We can rest assured that no matter what the weirdo preacher at the front of the church says, God will still be with us throughout it all. He can use the events of our lives to grow us, and he is already preparing us for whatever 2016 has in store. So, to finish, we're going to have a few minutes of quiet, and I want to either consider these questions or perhaps write them down so that you've got them for whenever you next spend some time with God. But what do I need to leave in 2015? Of what happened in 2015, God, what are you still wanting to work on in my life? What season am I in? What season are you moving me into? Do you have a verse for me for 2016? And can you show me how you've grown me in the past year? Let's just take some time now. And the Holy Spirit, I ask that you will bring to mind the things that you are wanting to talk to us about today, now, about what's happened is this year that's been and the year that's coming up. I trust that you want to speak to your people. Help us to have open hearts to receive what you're saying, Lord. That silence will have been insanely uncomfortable for some of you. You're welcome. If you do think God is still talking to you about some stuff that we've spoken about this morning, then the prayer team is available to pray with you just about now. Otherwise, thank you so much for coming today. Please, as I do think the chair stacker isn't here today, if you could help by stacking chairs and putting stuff away. But just be aware that some people might still be talking with God. So if you could just be a bit quiet as you do it, that would be lovely. Otherwise, we will see you next week.